BeastNet is brought to you by James Safety Services and in partnership with Beast OCR. Here we discuss all things OCR and fitness related, running, endurance, conditioning, rucking, and more. Welcome to BeastNet.
Hey everybody, it's Mike here with BeastNet. And on this episode, I have with me Erica Bogan. Erica, tell us a little bit about you.
Hi. So I am an adaptive athlete. I'm based out of Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm a paraplegic. I have been paraplegic for almost 18 years. It'll be 18 years in January of 2020. And I started doing CrossFit and competing in CrossFit about 3 years ago. And then this year just fell into OCR community when I did my first Spartan in April. And I have 5 medals now under my belt, all of them being Spartans except for one, which was a Scenic City mud run. So I have one more medal actually to have my first trifecta. So we'll be doing that in November in Carolina. So I'm super excited about that.
Oh, which one's, is that going to be the beast for your final one or?
Yep, it'll be the beast. I've done, it's so funny.
The beasts are always fun.
Yeah, I'm super excited about the beast. I started with a super, so which I think was a good thing, because when I fell into it, I really didn't know what I had signed up for, and so I got a good taste of what a Spartan is from my, I guess I got baptized.
I hear so many people that do that, because for like me, my very first Spartan was in 2015, and it was the Montana Beast. Because I don't do research very well. So I started the beast without ever, and I've told people before, I think if I had done a sprint first, because I wasn't in the greatest of shape then. I was working on it, but I wasn't in great shape yet. If I had started with a sprint and it kicked my butt as bad as that beast did, I never would have done another one. Because it would have been like, no, if a sprint's that hard, forget doing the rest. But since I started with a beast, it's like, well... did the hardest one, so I might as well do the easier ones. So, you know,
And after, I'm sure after doing a beast, a super and a sprint were like preschool to you. I know for me, after doing, you know, a super first, I did a super first and then I did another super second. And then the very next day I did a sprint. I did a back-to-back in one weekend. And it was so funny because I was like thinking to myself, okay, I'm doing 2 races in one weekend. So I'm getting the big one out of the way. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, what if I'm so sore that I can't do the sprint? And it actually didn't turn out that way at all. The next day for the sprint, I was like, oh, this is a breeze. I mean, and it went by. It felt like we were only on the course for maybe an hour compared to what we did in the first 2 supers. So I'm thankful I started out with a super.
Oh, yeah. And it's one of those, like we've always called it, active recovery is the sprint the next day. Because I've done a couple where I've done like a beast or a super and then done the sprint the next day, which is great. I did like last year in Vegas. They did it. Well, they call it Vegas. It's really in Arizona, but they did the sprint on Saturday and the super on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
So it was completely
That's
different
because
for me, it's one of those. Yeah, I've skipped. There's been a couple times and I know it sounds bad where. Something's happened on the bigger race on Saturday where I didn't do the sprint the second day. There was Montana 1 year. I tore a muscle in my bicep and in my pectoral. I didn't run doing the beast. So I didn't do the sprint the next day. So it was really weird. But then also I do the sprint first. I'm like, I can't get hurt on the sprint because I need the super more than I do the sprint.
Right.
You know, I needed the super for my trifecta because sprints, not to sound bad, sprints are easy to come by. It's the supers and the beast over here, especially on the West Coast. The supers and the beast that we don't get very often, we have to travel for those. So,
super, super, super stoked about the beast in November. And it isn't the only thing that I'm a little worried about. So I don't handle cold very well. Just my body from having a spinal cord injury and scientifically and medically, my body doesn't regulate temperature very well. So usually the dunk wall is my nemesis. especially if it's the beginning or middle of the race. Because after that, it's usually so, even during the hot months, once you get into that dunk wall, I mean, it's cold when you get out.
Yeah.
And I usually start kind of shutting down a little bit. So I'm a little bit intimidated by the beast, but at the same time, I'm like super excited. I'm like, I've come this far. I've done this many races. You know, this is what I've been waiting for all year is this beast. So I'm just going to mentally and physically would just really, really prepare for it. But my team is already, you know, getting hand warmers and extra layers of different clothes and all kinds of stuff,
and,
you know, to prepare me.
And sometimes that's the way to do it is you get like a lot of people, what they'll do is if they have an issue or worried about that, they'll bring like a dry bag that they can put like a change of clothes in or a warm pair, something they can put over their clothes to try and warm themselves up afterwards. Because I know a lot of people,
exactly,
I don't like the dunk wall. I don't like dunk wall just because I don't like my, I don't, and this sounds really stupid, I don't like putting my head underwater I can't see into.
No, it doesn't at all, because I have this same exact problem. So for me, it's super scary not to be able to open my eyes in that water. Yeah. But at the same time, I don't want to open my eyes in that water.
Yeah, because you don't. Oh, and it's one of those, you know, because it's one I've seen a lot of horror movies. My grandmother was a horror movie fanatic when I was growing up. So I've seen a lot of horror movies and I'm like, I know what could be in that water. I've seen enough horror movies and I can't see into it.
I worry about what we don't know is in that water.
That's exactly it. And it's, you know, in Montana, like 3 or 4 years ago, they actually had the dunk wall was in a stream. Which was really cool because it was, I'll tell you, it was cold as balls, but I could see through it.
It was clean. Yeah.
It was clean and I could see through it because it was running water.
I think I would actually enjoy that a little bit better because I wouldn't be as hesitant. There have been times, and with me being an adaptive athlete, you know, we get to an obstacle and my team will look at me and they'll like, you know, how do you feel? Do you feel up to this one? If not, we can do burpees. And, you know, my reply is always, no matter how crazy the obstacle looks, is always, no, if everybody else has to do it, I have to do it. And, but the one obstacle that I hesitate in saying, okay, I have to do it if everybody else has to do it, is the dunk wall. And really only, not just because it's miserable, but only because of what I know it does to my body physically. And I'm like, okay, do I want to finish the race, you know, comfortably and, you know, not hypothermic, or do I want to do it because everybody else has to? And so a lot of times that's the one obstacle that I will go for burpees instead. I'll do the rolling mud, but I won't get into the dunk wall. So again, it's really just trying to save myself from hypothermia.
And I get that one. I mean, it's like I said, I don't like that one. So I get it.
Yeah. That's the only one. The rest of them, I mean, I tackle them as best I can. Of course, I have my team to rely on, but, you know, I'll do everything as independently as I possibly can as a paraplegic, which is awesome. This last super that I just did in Atlanta, I actually finally made it to the top of the rope and rang the bell independently and was so super proud of myself. Couldn't raise my arms above my head for a couple of days afterwards, but I rang the bell and that's all that matters. So yeah, I did.
That's awesome.
Usually one that I have to have some extra help with, just logistically, you know, trying to climb a rope without being able to use your legs at all is not an easy task. So I was,
I'm sure it's not.
Yeah,
well, because that's what a lot of people, they talk about. You know, because I have a problem with the ropes, and everyone always tells me, you know, use the S hook, use the J hook. And I'm like, I can't figure it out. So most people rely, you know, and a lot of people don't realize that. They rely on their legs to be able to climb those ropes. So to be able to do it without your legs at all, you know, without them working, it is amazing.
I think more than anything, what would intimidate me, and I would kind of psych myself out, I think that I had the strength to make it up the rope before, but every time I go up, so I go, you know, I'm holding to the rope with one hand and I have to let go with another hand. to reach up, to go up a little bit. Before I go up, I go back down first. And it feels as if I'm going to fall because I'm holding all of my body weight with just one arm. And so I would kind of psych myself out looking down thinking, okay, I'm going to bust my ass on the ground. And I would end up just coming back down the rope and my team would have to help me get up. This was a super big achievement for me to finally make it. And again, I wouldn't have been able to do it with my team. I mean, they're more than just my legs. They're my biggest cheerleaders. So
that's awesome.
Super, super thankful for them. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, anybody, I mean, having the right team around them can change a race. So, I mean, in Absolutely. Your case, I mean, it's, you know, they help a lot. So, I mean, it's amazing to be able to do that. All right. And now we're going to take a quick pause so we can hear from our sponsors.
Like what you hear? Make sure and subscribe and review us on your favorite podcast platform. Be sure to find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you're using YouTube, please click the little red subscribe icon, then click the little bell for notifications of future episodes. And if you could, give us a thumbs up.
And we're back. How has being a paraplegic changed you? If that does that make sense? Does the way I word that make sense?
Absolutely. So it's kind of funny because people ask me, you know, similar questions quite frequently. And, you know, I always reply that becoming a paraplegic actually changed my life for the better. And I know that that's hard for most able-bodied people to wrap their mind around as you're like sitting there going, okay, wait a minute, you lost your ability to walk and you're saying that your life is actually better, that it changed your life in a good way. But for me, it really, really did. It kind of put things into perspective and it made me realize, you know, what really matters most in life. And to me, walking isn't one of them. It's just the it's just a technicality. I feel like, you know, my life has been tremendously blessed because of becoming a paraplegic. So I was injured because of domestic violence, and it was almost 18 years ago. It'll be 18 years in January of 2020. In the beginning, you know, I didn't look at things from the perspective that I look at it now. And I hated life. I was angry. I was pissed off. I guess being injured at the hands of somebody else was something that was really hard for me to accept. And all I could think of was my life before I got injured. And it wasn't until probably 4 or 5 years into my injury that I had an epiphany. And that epiphany was to change my response. Because life really wasn't as bad as I was making it out to be. Yes, I couldn't walk. Yes, I kind of lost some of my identity, right? You know, from losing my ability to walk. And things were physically a little bit harder. You know, I had to learn how to do everything. Even something as simple as making a bed would take me 30 minutes. And it was frustrating. But I realized as time went on that those things got easier and easier and they became more natural. And even though I was doing things differently than what I was used to do, how I was used to doing them, it became a new habit and a new way of life and a new way of doing things. And I have been blessed with so many amazing opportunities that I probably wouldn't have otherwise been blessed with because I was paralyzed. And partially, you know, it gave me, like I said, a different perspective on life. And it gave me a different drive. When something was presented to me, like, you know, doing a Spartan race, when I was able-bodied, I would have probably laughed at somebody and been like, I'm not going to go play in the mud in the woods. And like, are you kidding me? Like, that's not fun. And I wouldn't have did it. But because it was so outside of the box for somebody who is a paraplegic to do those things, it pushed me to do it because I have made my life all about changing people's perspectives about life. And again, about what really matters. And I think even more importantly, you know, my message to people when I speak, because I'm also a motivator, is how to change your response to what's happening in life, because shit happens to all of us all the time. It's a normal thing, whether you're walking, whether you're wheeling, whether, you know, whatever it is, shit happens. But if we learn to change our response to what's happening, it changes our entire world. And I think that's exactly what happened with me. But it was a choice. I chose to change my response. I chose to stop concentrating on the negatives and looking at the positives, even if it was, I just woke up this morning, or I was able to make my bed in 10 minutes. You know, it was the little things at first that mattered the most. I remember the very first time I was able to go to the grocery store totally independently with just me and my kids by myself and buy groceries for my house by myself. Like I got into the parking lot after I had the kids packed in the car, the groceries loaded in the car, and me and my wheelchair in the car. I literally started crying. And, you know, I remember my kids were like, "Mom, what's wrong?" And I'm like, "Nothing. I'm just so happy. I'm so happy that I was able to take you guys and go get groceries all by myself," you know, and they're looking at me like I'm crazy because they don't quite understand. But it was really the little things. And the more and more I concentrated on those positives, because I firmly believe with everything in life, with every negative, there's also a positive. And again, I chose to see the positive. And the more and more I did that, it literally formed a habit in my brain. And it just gave me a whole different outlook on my life and how truly blessed I am. You know, now I have people all the time that ask me with, you know, the new medical technology and advances in science with, you know, stem cell research and spinal cords, you know, would I ever be interested in doing it? If I was ever picked, why would I be a candidate to receive stem cells and possibly walk again? And I always say no, which also stumps people. And they're like, "What do you mean you don't want to walk?" And I'm like, "Not really. I think walking's overrated. There's there's way too many perks to being in a wheelchair." But that's just that's my perspective. And it's something that I've chosen wholeheartedly to believe and to live by.
That's awesome. It is. I mean, knows a lot. But it was amazing. I mean, I'm a firm believer on perspective. The saying perspective is reality. I don't think a lot of people really understand that saying until they listen to what you just said. I mean, you took a reality that most people would, probably spend their lives in a depression because of, and turned it into, changed your perspective about it and said, you know, this isn't how I started, but this isn't going to change it's going to change my story, but I still get to write it.
Absolutely. And, you know, and the biggest reason that I did it was my kids. You know, I realized one day, like I said, I woke up and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I have three beautiful little girls that are watching me and I am their model. And if I sit here and allow myself to be defeated by my body and my situation, then that's what they're going to learn. That the first bad thing that happens in their life, they're going to lay down, roll over, and be defeated. And I can't do that. You know, I have to keep going and make something out of this. And even with doing Spartans and cross and all the crazy stuff that I do, people all the time always assume automatically that I'm doing it because I'm a paraplegic and because I'm trying to, make a name for myself being a paraplegic that does all of these things that are outside the box. And it's really not why. More than anything, my hope is that I'm changing other people's perceptions of their life and about the obstacles that they may be facing in life, and not to give up, to overcome those by any means necessary and keep going. You know, I live with PTSD. I have a pretty crazy case of complex PTSD just from everything that happened. And that was, you know, another part of my whole being that I also had to change. You know, I had to realize that I couldn't let that stop me from life. I couldn't just stay in bed because I was depressed and was scared to leave, or, you know, I couldn't do that. I had three very important people watching me at all times. And the only thing that I could do was work on myself. And once I worked on myself, and once I got myself into a good place of full acceptance and choosing to be happy no matter the circumstance, then I started working on the world around me and changing other people's perceptions, like I said, about things that they may be facing in their life. And every time I see that I've encouraged somebody, or I've empowered them, or, you know, inspired them to push past their limits, it just kind of reminds me, like, all right, I'm glad I showed up. You know, I'm glad that I kept going. I'm glad I made that choice to totally, fully embrace life, no matter what was kind of working against me.
Yeah, and like I said, that's awesome. It honestly reminds me of it. I used to work with a gentleman who was in a wheelchair, and I asked him one day, because we'd go places together, and he had, you know, it's a beautiful truck that he made, had altered so that he could drive it. He would never park in a handicapped spot, ever. And I asked him one day, I'm like, why? And he looks right at me, and he's like, and it was, I remember perfectly, he looked right at me, because I did this to myself. Like, there's people there that deserve those spots because something happened to them. They were born with issues, or if they've gotten older, they've had issues. He's like, I did this to myself. He's like, I chose to drink and then drive. And when I did that, I made a mistake. I was in a car accident and I put myself in this chair. So I leave those spots for people who need them. And it just, it was a completely different perspective to me.
Yeah. It's funny. I do that too, but mine for different reasons. I'm in a wheelchair and, you know, I can't walk and, but I know that physically I'm perfectly capable of rolling a little bit further into the store. Yeah. If anything, I think I have it easier parking further away because I am on wheels. And I know that there are so many other people that need those spots way more than I do. And there are times when I need it, depending on what vehicle I'm in. So I have a vehicle that does have a ramp. And when I'm in that one, obviously I need it because I need that ramp space. But wow. I've just never heard a perspective like that. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and it was. I mean, it really, you know, and I mean, I was maybe in my early 20s when this happened. Mm-hmm. And it just, I think it changed my entire perspective on it of that. I mean, just the way to look at things, like you said, I mean, it's like, you know, do not have use of your legs, but that doesn't mean your life is over. It's your perspective to say, okay, well, I just have to find a new way of doing it. It's like the whole Spartan thing. If there's an obstacle put in front of you, how do you get past it?
You figure it out.
Yeah.
You figure it out. You know, and I think that life is the same. It's one of the reasons that, you know, I did my first Spartan race and became an OCR addict. it was really because of the obstacles, you know, and I look at life in the same way that I look at a Spartan race. And it's funny because I'll see, you know, I roll around in a world every day that's not built for me. So there's barriers all over the place. And most of the time I'm by myself. Now, you know, 17 years ago when I was first injured, I would have been like, oh, there's no accessible ramp for me to get in this place. So I'm just going to get back in my car and I'm going to go back home. And now I see it as an obstacle that I know I can get over, because I get over so many that look impossible during the Spartan race. And so there's so many things that, you know, Spartan has brought into my life and enriched my life in so many ways and really just made me even stronger and more open-minded to what I know that I can physically and mentally get through.
Yeah. Which is awesome. Like I said, I'll be honest. I'm complete awe of your perspective and all of that. I mean, it's in a, and I don't know how to say this in a nice, politically correct way, but in a time when there are so many people that are looking for any excuse they can to not do something, or for people to
make
excuses or change things to make things easier for them, to hear somebody that's like, you know, I'm not going to wait for someone to make it easier for me. I'm just going to do it.
I'm going to figure it out.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's just,
you know, I wouldn't be able to, you know, do any of these things though, without my team. And, the team that I run with is actually, it's an organization. It's a nonprofit.
I was going to ask you about them. I was going to ask you about them.
I beat you to it. It's called More Heart.
Beat me to it.
Yeah. And it actually was formed well before I ever even thought of doing a Spartan or even knew what a Spartan race was in 2013, right after the Boston bombing, I believe. And it was formed to help people with, you know, not just visible scars like I have. I mean, you look at me and you can tell I have a scar. I'm sitting in a wheelchair, but also to help people with their invisible scars, their mental or emotional scars. To learn how to realize that they can live beyond those scars. And, you know, they're just a beautiful, beautiful organization and group of people who have helped so many Spartan para athletes, you know, be able to get through these races and you know, enrich their lives from being able to push past their limits and get through these brutal races. It's actually funny because the chair that I ride in, my race chair, is the same chair that was built for Joe DeCina when he did his race in a wheelchair to see what it would be like for a para athlete to run a Spartan. So I actually sit in Jody's chair, which is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Hopefully getting another chair really soon built for me that's actually built specifically custom for me, just because it's a lot lighter. Yeah. And I'm an itty-bitty little thing. I only weigh a little over 98 pounds. So that chair that I ride in is way too big, but it works and it's such a blessing. But yeah, you know, More Hearts and Scars has changed my life. You know, just like I said, the first race, I just remember how brutal it was. And the very last obstacle I had to get over was the big A-frame. And my arms were jello and I was shaking and I was mentally, you know, and emotionally exhausted. I was in pain. And I remember I got to the top of the A-frame and my arms were shaking so bad. And I just started breaking down and crying. And Rob Lyday, actually, one of the announcers for Spartan, climbed up to the top of that A-frame with the rest of my team. And he was like, "All right, look at me." He's like, we're going to get you down this. I just need you to get over the top, over the peak of the obstacle." And I was crying and I was just saying, like, I can't do this. And, looked at me and he's like, "You can do this and you will do this." And I looked at one of my teammates and, his name's Joey, and Joey's like, "You're going to do this because we're going to help you do this. You've made it this far." And I just remember, and you can see a video that was actually made of my first race. You can see me mouthing, "I've got this. I've got to make it to the finish line. I've got this." And I don't know where it came from, but all of a sudden I started moving up over it. And I remember putting my one arm around Rob and one arm around Joey and then just carrying me down to the bottom of the thing. And I was crying ugly tears. I was ugly crying. I was crying not just out of, you know, the pain and the exhaustion, and it was also the joy and this sense of accomplishment and like, I did this. I just conquered something. I mean, it took us 9 hours, Mike, to finish my first super. It was brutal. It had rained like two days before, so the course was just a mess. People were losing their shoes. I mean, it was brutal. It was crazy. But once we got to the fire jump and jumped over that fire, and I realized what we had just accomplished, like I said, I became an addict. Oh, yeah. I guess it's a good thing to be addicted to.
It is. And I know I've, the first Spartan I did, I finished, I'm like, "I'm never doing this again. This is stupid." And then was like, but I volunteered and I have two free races, so I should probably use them. And that was 2015. And I'll be finishing, I think when I finish Central Cal for my 3x trifecta this year, it'll be race 35 in Spartan that I've done.
Oh, wow, that's so awesome.
Something like that. Yeah.
I'm hoping to get like two. I want to get as many as I can under my belt. You know, this is my first year doing it. I've got five. And
which is amazing. I mean, my first year I did three. So, but I mean, it just, you start finding ways to volunteer, get free races, how to get to the other ones. Yep. You know, where do you live? Yep. Are you on the East Coast?
I live in Charlotte. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay. I've been to Charlotte. It's a nice place. So
it is.
So we're on the West Coast. Here. Where you what?
I said that was my first race was the one here in Charlotte.
Oh, nice.
It's relatively
See, being over here on the. So what I've heard over there, being here on the West Coast, we get a lot of the mountain races. And I mean, Montana is one. I think one year there was almost 6,000 feet of elevation gain. I mean, it's hill after hill. It's completely insanity. So you should definitely come to the West Coast and play with us over here.
Well, I really, really, really want to do Tahoe. That's like one of like my dream courses to do is Tahoe. And I really would like to try and I don't know, I think after this year, they're not doing the para championships anymore. But if they can,
which I don't understand why, but
me neither. But that one I think is it Nevada?
I think so. I think it was, in Laughlin.
I believe that was another one that I really, really would like to do. Cause I'm all about the climbing and the mountains. So that's like my new crazy addiction is climbing.
You
stuff.
Definitely like Montana.
Oh, see, and I love Montana anyway. It's one of my favorite states. It's just a beautiful, beautiful state. But I actually,
oh, and it's gorgeous.
Oh, I can only imagine. I mean, all of these courses are so beautiful. I've even seen, pictures of Vermont. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm thrilled to go on that course. This is so beautiful.
I would just say, don't do Seattle in April.
Oh,
if you have problems with cold, don't do not do Seattle.
Yeah. Wet and muddy and nasty.
Oh, in April, there's video somewhere of a guy swimming through the barbed wire crawl because it's rained so bad. It was like the barbed wire crawl was almost, there was, I think, almost a foot of water underneath it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we pretty much swam that entire course.
Again, we remember we pay to do these things.
I know.
Done, even in CrossFit, there's some days where I, in the middle of a wad, I'm like, getting my attitude and my trainer, I'm like rolling my eyes at my trainer because she's like 30 more, and she's like, remember, you're paying me for this. And I'm like, yes, I know. I know I'm paying to torture me. I'm paying you to torture me.
Do you like challenges that are fun, tough, and might use tacos? Head on over to beastchallenge.com and check out our upcoming events, including Beasts 5K Plus, a combination of race and endurance event, and the Bucket Mile. Keep an eye on the Beasts OCR Facebook group for event gatherings. For more information, head on over to beastchallenge.com and the Beasts OCR Facebook group. You'll be glad you did.
So we I'm super excited. This is something that just recently came to be within like the last week as far as being set in stone. I just mentioned how I have this new desire to climb anything that I can climb. Some of the people on my team, Our Hearts and Scars, and I are going to be going to Tanzania in September 2020 in Africa to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, which I'm like so super stoked about. And really, more than anything for me, of course, I want to make it to the summit, and I know that we will. To be able to just see the scenery and the country and to be on the side of a volcano in Africa is just, I'm so super excited, but I already know it'll be definitely the biggest climb of my life thus far. I'm super stoked about it. Super stoked. The only thing I'm worried about.
See what I like about your. Oh yeah. I've heard that can be bad. But I was going to say, what I like about your personality and your view on life is you make sure to throw in there, it's going to be the worst in climb thus far.
Yes. Because, my story is not over yet.
No.
It's not over.
No.
And, I think that that's one of the biggest gifts that life has given me is, again, that appreciation for every single day. And, not to say that I don't have bad days, because I do. But even on my worst day, I can usually sit back and go, you know what? I'm glad I'm here and I'm glad I showed up and that I've had these amazing experiences that, you know, I could have never lived to see. But here I am. Here we are. You know, it's truly
so awesome.
A blessing.
It is. It's amazing. I mean, and it really shows. I mean, in a time when mental health is such a huge push right now, is to see someone who has that perspective and shows the difference that mental health can be. I mean, someone who has that perspective of, hey, this does suck, but it only sucks because I believe it does. If I believe it doesn't and find ways to make it so it doesn't in my mind, that it won't suck so bad. And I know that's not always easy for people, but I mean, it just...
That was what I was about to say. It takes a lot of work and it literally takes a whole village of people that I have chosen to surround myself with to keep myself in a mental space. You know, it's something that, you know, mental health is a huge, huge thing for me. And a lot of what I do, the craziness that I do is for mental health reasons. You know, I was talking a little while ago about how, you know, most people think I do things because I'm in a wheelchair and I'm an adaptive athlete. And that's why I'm doing it, is to show that people in wheelchairs can do it. And it's not. You know, it actually, for whatever reason, beating my body up, just for a lack of better words, it kind of fills my cup back up again. And just reminds me that I showed up. And that I accomplished something big, and I accomplished something that most people who can walk wouldn't attempt.
And that's one thing I found. I would say I found a lot of people in the Spartan, the OCR community who have had, you know, different backstories, but the same kind of outcome, that the Spartan world, the OCR world, and choosing to surround themselves with the correct people changed their entire perspective, whether it was PTSD because they were ex-military, PTSD because of domestic violence. I've got one friend who's recovering drug addict who has turned her life around and is now a drug addiction counselor and, you know, runs Spartan. So, I mean, it's just amazing to see those perspectives of people that are like, hey, everything bad was thrown at me. And now because I changed my perspective, things are better. But it's not just that simple. That makes sense. I mean, it's changing your perspective, but there's a lot that makes that happen.
Yeah. And a lot of it is the people that we're surrounding ourselves with. And, you know, the things that we're entertaining, the things that we're doing. I mean, it's a whole lifestyle shift. You know, I talk about wellness all the time, and wellness isn't always just physical wellness. It's mental wellness. It's emotional wellness, spiritual wellness. You know, we are whole beings. Yeah. And so we have to have all of those different areas of our being to be healthy. And, I know for me, it's a constant battle. You know, there's, like I said, I have bad days, and if it wasn't for the village that I've built around me, I don't know if my outcome would have been different. You know, it's hard to say, but I know one thing for sure. I surrounded myself with some of the most beautiful people that, you know, were strategically kind of placed right in my path, right when I needed them. And I'm very, very grateful for that. Those are my people that when I am in a dark space or I, you know, it's a day I don't want to get out of bed, those are the people I call and they're like, get your ass out of bed, you know, and quit having your pity party and let's get up, let's get ready, let's go do something, you know? And, it always just kind of reminds me, like, I'm alive, I'm here, and I can't take that for granted.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. And one of the things that I did, that I've been lucky enough to be blessed to be on is I'm on a national committee about suicide prevention in construction. And I actually do go to conferences and give talks about it. And it's one of those huge things to see that change in mental health and how people are now talking about it and how mental health can change everything for a person. I mean, it's not just the physical. I mean, you see a lot of these people that have physical ailments that come from their mental health. And you fix one, you fix the other. And it's, you know, or not always fix might not be the word, but you know what I mean? You help one, you help the other, you know,
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and the fact that you just really, you know, brought up another thing that I speak a lot about is, you know, we have to be more open. You know, those of us that have come from those dark places and have, you know, kind of emerged back into the light again. And, you know, we've got to share that knowledge that we've accumulated through our own battles with each other and open up that conversation, because you never know what somebody's going through. You know, it wasn't until I started being more transparent about the fact that I have PTSD and anxiety and depression and all the crazy stuff that comes with it. You know, it wasn't until I started being more open and more transparent about it that I started realizing how many people around me were dealing with the same thing, and I had no idea. And just me opening up that conversation possibly saved some of their lives, you know? And
it's the stigma.
We
all grew up with that stigma that you don't talk about that.
And that's something that, you know, I'm all too familiar with, are stigmas, you know, because there's a huge stigma that goes along with having a disability and being a full-time wheelchair user. People look at my wheelchair and think it's a negative thing. And I'm like, you know, they're always like, gosh, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, what are you sorry about? Like, my life is good, you know, like, and I have to explain to people, this wheelchair is not a negative thing. It's not a trophy I got from a tragedy. It's a trophy I got from something that I was blessed with. It's a gift. It's my wings. It's how I get around. It's how I do what I love. It's how I follow my dreams and my passions. And, you know, it's not negative at all. It's a technicality. It's just how I move around. And if anything, I'm a whole lot faster than any walker I can think of. Because I call you guys walkers and us wheelers, and I'm way faster than you probably. So,
probably.
You know,
I bet.
But again, it's all about perspective and the way that I've chosen to view it. And, you know, I think if more people were able to do that and change the dialogue in their head, change that voice that's themselves talking to themselves, and look at the positive things and the things that we have to be grateful for, because all of us have something to be grateful for. You know, it changes your whole world. It changes your life. And then in turn, it's like it's like a mirror effect. It kind of happens to the other people that are around you. You know, it's contagious.
It is, and I think what it does is it changes the people around you, or it makes the people around you, they either change or the people that are around you are different. They're changes. I'm trying to think how to say that right. Either it's different people or the people change. That's what I was trying to say. You know, people, if you have that kind of perspective and that kind of attitude, people will be drawn to you, and the people that don't want that perspective in their lives will walk away. They'll be repelled. So it's,
oh my gosh,
it's that old thing, what you throw in the universe, you get.
Yes, attitude is everything. If you walk around and roll around with a shitty attitude, your life is going to be shitty.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the law of the universe. What you put out, just what you're going to get. Yeah, I'm a firm believer in, you know, what we think creates a reality. Our thoughts create a reality. And if you're walking around and you're thinking miserable thoughts all the time, you're going to feel really miserable, and life's probably going to be really miserable. You know, but we all have that choice. We can all choose to change that. You know, it's just like forming a new habit. It is forming a new habit. You know, the more you do it, the easier it gets, and then it becomes nature.
Oh yeah, which is amazing. I mean, people, be good to people. That it's that simple. It's one of those things I always tell people, whether you're religious or not, the golden rule still stands. You know, treat others as you would like to be treated. I mean, religion or not religion, that's just a good rule. I mean, you know.
I agree. Totally, I mean, agree just, with you.
Yeah. All right, and now we're going to take a quick pause so we can hear from our sponsors.
Does your business need first aid, AED, OSHA, flagging, or other safety training? James Safety Services is your one-stop shop. Find them on Facebook today at James Safety Services WA and ask for a quote on hosting your training needs.
And we're back. So I would like to say we are coming up on the one-hour mark, which is usually about where we like to keep the episodes. But I did want to, before we got there, do you have more info on your team? What they do to me sounds amazing. I mean, to work with, you know, para athletes, you said they work with men, you know, people that have mental health issues as well. I mean, they just work with people that need that help and that extra push. And I mean, there's so many people in this world that just given that little nudge, and I've seen it where I've seen someone who's done their first spark and that light in their eye when they're finished and just seen their entire life change. You know, because all of a sudden they have something, it becomes their addiction and it gets rid of the other ones.
Absolutely. Well, and for somebody that's differently abled, you know, I think I said it a little while ago, I would have been in a million years when I first got paralyzed, ever thought that this would be something that I would be able to do. Like I'd always thought, you know, it'd be something that I'd be sitting on the sidelines and watching somebody else do. And so it really opens up, you know, a whole avenue for people with disabilities and what they are capable of doing. And also being able to accept that it's okay to have help. It's okay. Everybody, I see able-bodied people getting help from their team members, you know, during the Spartan. You know, I like what Spartan says in the very beginning before we start the finish line. And they're like, you know, look to your right. Look at the Spartan on your right. Look to the Spartan on your left. You know, they're not going to leave you. And that's so true. I have people who aren't on our team that help me get through and help my teammates. You know, we're all helping each other. It's a beautiful community. But you asked about More Hearts and Scars, and absolutely. So More Hearts and Scars is 501c3. It's a nonprofit organization based here out of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. You can find them on the web at moreheartthanscars.org. We are all over social media, and it's More Hearts and Scars on Facebook, and it's More Hearts and Scars Official on Instagram. And you know, the founders of it, which are Zach Pabin and Wendy Pabin, are two of the most beautiful people I've ever met in my life, and they have actually incorporated a little twist to the whole taking people in wheelchairs through Spartan races. So some of the people on my team are actually teenage boys that have autism and that are on the autism spectrum. And so it's a really, really cool thing to see. You know, here they have their own things that hold them back. A lot of times it's sensory stuff, you know, that the feeling of mud or the feeling of being dirty is something that they just really can't handle. And seeing them go into these Spartan races with the sole purpose of keeping me, the wheelchair athlete, safe, and watching them push through their own scars and their own insecurities and their own battles, it's just such a beautiful thing. And you know, watching us all work together as a team is it's even more beautiful. You know, these boys have become a huge part of my life. I actually, just last weekend when I did the Atlanta Super, I had to turn around and leave right after the race and drive back to Asheville, North Carolina, and go to sleep. And the next morning I got up and went and did another obstacle course, but it wasn't a race. It's just an obstacle course that's set up at a college in Asheville to do some team building stuff with some of these boys. And it's an unbelievable organization. I mean, I highly recommend anybody, you know, checking us out on, you know, social media or even visiting the website. You know, and we're always looking for sponsors. We're always looking for, you know, people to help support the cause so that we can take more adaptive athletes out and bring more of the boys out to the races and, you know, just keep opening up that world for so many people because, again, it's not all about the physical disability. You know, we all have those invisible scars as well. And to be able to help people push past that after they've already gone through something catastrophic in life is it's pretty powerful.
That is. I mean, that's amazing to turn both, to use both of them to help each other. I mean, it's always amazing, the human spirit, how I don't want to say easier, but how more likely someone's going to get over their fear to help somebody else, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
They're like, okay, I'll deal with the texture of the mud and everything else. And I mean, anyone who doesn't know someone who's autistic doesn't understand how crippling those texture issues and sometimes sound, it's different for each person, how crippling they can be. And for them to say, okay, I'm going to ignore this so that I can make sure you can get through this and that you're safe. And that's awesome. Yes.
Well, one of the quotes that More Hearts and Scars uses is by Aristotle, and it's, you know, we are more than the sum of our parts. And I mean, yeah. I think that beautifully kind of sums up what More Hearts and Scars is all about. You know, each of us have our own scars, but we have more heart than our scars. And so we all go out there with heart, and we help each other, and we encourage each other, and we end up at the finish line conquering these races. Actually, I'll have some of those boys will actually be with me on my beast in November, which is part of the reason that we went into the obstacle course on Sunday, is to start preparing some of the newer kids that have never done a Spartan before for what we're going to encounter at the beast. And just trying to, you know, do some team building and learn that, you know, we're all relying on each other.
Yeah, you're all in it together.
Beautiful thing. I'm super proud to be a part of it. You know, they've become a huge part of my life. I always joke around, I'm like, they're stuck with me. I'm a More Hearts and Scars lifer.
That's awesome.
They're stuck with me forever. So,
well, if you ever get a race over here on the West Coast, let me know, and I will have to hook up with you and join the More Hearts and Scars team to help you get through. So
definitely,
or if I ever get to the East Coast.
Yes, I was going to say, or if you come this way, please let me know. But I'm already working on getting us, well, we're all collectively working on, and that's where the sponsors come in, you know, come into play, is, you know, it takes a lot of funding to be able to, you know, have the proper equipment that we need, the ropes and the carabiners and all the stuff we need for safety for the adaptive athletes out on the course, as well as the travel costs and feeding everybody. I mean, because we've got a pretty large team. We've got to have at least 6 bodies on that course helping just one athlete. It gets a little costly. So that's one of the things that has kept us from being able to do some of the West Coast stuff. But I know that we're definitely working towards that for 2020, because I've dead set on Tahoe and now Montana.
So Montana's amazing.
Gotta get out there. Yeah, and I actually have another friend who, really, really good friend of mine, who actually, he had a traumatic brain injury years and years ago, and he started doing Spartans and, you know, became an addict, but he's out in Vegas, so he really wants me to come out that way and do that race. You said it's in Arizona, though.
You're talking about Tim? Tim Prim?
No, his name is Mike. His name is Mike, actually.
Okay. I said there's another one in Vegas. Yeah, there's a guy in Vegas named Tim Frame who has a traumatic, his was a flesh-eating virus or something, but yeah, it was, yeah, he can't remember, he has to leave himself notes all the time so he can remember, like, yesterday.
His short-term memory. Yeah.
Yeah, so, and he does Spartan races, and I did an interview with him, I think, about a year and a half ago, and it was amazing, but, yeah, so.
Amazing. I love meeting other adaptive athletes, too, within the Spartan circle. Actually, in this last super, I had 2 other adaptive athletes that were both amputee. They had arm amputations that just happened to join our team at the last minute, and now they're friends for life, you know, that did it with us. It's just really, really cool. It's like, there's nothing like the Spartan community.
There's not. And I mean, anytime.
Beautiful people.
I have never done a Spartan race where I haven't come away with new friends. So,
me neither.
And I mean,
that's probably what I love the most about it.
Yeah, I come away with new friends.
People that want to learn Yeah, yeah. They, and some of my closest friends, I literally have just been friends with since April, since my first Spartan. And now I'm just like, God, I can't imagine my life without these people. You know, I mean, we're doing things outside of races and taking trips together. And it's just an amazing community to be part of.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we are at that 1 hour mark. So what is one thing you would want to leave the listeners with? I mean, one thing you'd want to say to them in closing.
In closing, I'd like to say for anybody out there that, you know, hasn't yet done Spartan and or any OCR for that matter, and is on the fence about it, do it. Don't hesitate. Don't think too much into it. Just go do it. I mean, you'll thank me later. It's more than just a race.
It is. It is. All right. Well, thank you so much. I mean, I love your story, and I have a feeling I'm going to want to talk to you again soon, like after the beast, and get to know how that went.
Absolutely.
So
keep in touch
thank
with
you,
me.
Thank you. Your story. Oh, I will. Your story is inspirational. Yeah. I don't know what else. I feel like inspirational isn't enough of a word, but I can't think of one that's better. So
that
thank you again.
Perfect.
And
thank you for this opportunity. Thank you so much. And I look forward to keeping in touch with you and running a race with you eventually.
All right. Perfect. Thank you so much. And I will talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mike. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast. If you haven't done it yet, find us on Facebook. Like and share the podcast. Give us a review on iTunes or Spotify. All these things will help to expand the show in the future. This show is brought to you by James Safety Services in partnership with Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you like to hear. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or at beastocr.com.